Welcome back to Hit the Target, powered by Hollywood Bets. Today, we've got the scoop on who's hot, who's not, and the biggest surprises that are shaping the English Premier League title race and the relegation battle. Joining me in studio today are football analysts Mark Stradom and Sipa Sishresoni. Gents, welcome.
Morning, gentlemen. Good morning to the listeners. Thanks for having me again.
Morning. Hey, that's a nice intro, bro. It's good to be back. After a nice break watching the international teams, players representing their countries, now it's back to league action. Hopefully everyone is well and ready to go.
This weekend's headline fixture is the Manchester Derby. Now we know form goes out the window for these games, but both outfits have endured a rocky start to the 2025-26 campaign, with United in 9th place and City in 13th. What went wrong for both of them?
For United, they struggled last season, and I thought maybe having made, you know, a couple of formidable signings, I thought they were going to start, you know, well this season. I mean, look at I can make an example with Tottenham. They also made several changes, and I can say their stats is better than United. I expected United, you know, to follow the same routes, but unfortunately it didn't happen. Hopefully they can use the derby, you know, to turn things around. It won't be easy, but I just hope, you know, it can happen for them.
Yeah, big changes from Man United indeed. However, the problems still persist. Mark, last time out, United needed a last-minute penalty from Bruno Fernandes, which was the saving grace for them.
It definitely was. You could see by the celebrations after the game how excited they were to win. It just underlines the issues that are ongoing at Man United at the moment. They are playing under pressure. Tactically, it's not working out. The coach doesn't look happy whenever the camera puts a light on him. So there's a lot going on at United, and they come into a big game with a lot of pressure on their shoulders.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. His body language is just not giving me much confidence in him. Do you think he has got confidence in his players?
I think so. I think he has to. He's the coach at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that was gave me all I need to know.
Yeah, I think he has to at this stage, because they've backed him. He's brought in new players, which he wanted. So I think, you know, in a way he does. But I think his tactical decisions, I'm not sure if it fits right for the Premier League,
yeah,
or if the players do not fit the formation style, yeah, or the style of play. So there's a lot of work that needs to happen. He's shipped out some players, he's brought in some players. I think it's about time that they buy into his philosophy and start to play for the name on the front instead of the name on the back of the shirt.
Maybe elaborate on some of those tactics that you feel is just not working out for them.
So I think when he was in Portugal, he played with a back three, if I'm not mistaken, with wing backs and a striker with a vocal point up front, which is not working now because he's got three centre backs, Leny Yoro, De Ligt, and Dogu, which are very different players, where you should have maybe three central centre backs who have similar styles, who, yeah, can play from the left, the center, and the right, which is more comfortable. He's using Diallo as, yeah, a right wing back, yeah, which is not his favorite position. He's more attack minded. Central defense, midfield, sorry. Casemiro, I think his legs are out. They should have invested with a player to accompany Bruno there, so they can free Bruno to be the creative spark, whereas they're holding him back. So there's a lot that still needs to happen. But I do back the coach. I'm a favorite of the coach. So hopefully in time everything works out for him, because whenever, like I said, the camera shows his face and his body language, it doesn't look good.
Yeah. You know, I wonder why they kept faith in Casemiro, because at his tender age of, I think he's late, maybe mid-50s, well, he looks like a bit of mid-50s when I've seen him in a few games this season. You know, it's just the tracking back for me that, yeah, I can't understand why they let players like Scott McTominay go. I see they've kept Kobbie Mainoo you know, with the team this season, and with the hope that he's going to fight for his place in the team. Do you think there's going to be a change in formation this weekend? Maybe we'll see Maino in for Casemiro.
I doubt, though. I think in a game like this, you experience is very vital. I mean, Casemiro has great experience. He's used to, you know, playing under pressure, even during his days, you know, at Real Madrid, even when he's on and he's representing Brazil. So I think it's better to start with him, and maybe when you see that his legs are out, you can, you know, just substitute him.
Well, similarly, Pep Guardiola's rebuild at Man City is not going as smoothly as expected. City are off to its worst league start of Guardiola's entire managerial career after suffering defeats to Tottenham and Brighton.
Yeah. This is unusual, you know, for City. They usually just shoot, you know, from the start and show their intent of, you know, challenging for the league. But things are different now. Even last season, things weren't really going that well for them. Yeah, but Guardiola, you know, is one of the greatest tacticians. He can still, you know, turn things around.
Mark, an excellent game for Guardiola and company to get their season started.
Definitely is. I think any game to get their season started, they would be happy with the bad start they've experienced thus far. So I'm counting on Guardiola to turn things around. I think I've been saying it every week and they've lost. We come back, we say it again and they've lost.
Yeah.
But I think this week, both teams have work to do. But I think City stand a better chance of coming away with the points, yeah.
Yeah, we know they started off the campaign with a massive 4-0 away win at the Molyneux Stadium against Wolves. But then they followed that up to a 2-0 defeat at home to Tottenham Hotspur. Do you think that's when the cracks in that City armour started to appear?
Definitely. I think the first one showed what they can do once they get the ball rolling. But again, defensively, the vulnerabilities they show in defence. Also, the keeper making mistakes. It just shows that against stronger, more organized, structured teams, they can be beaten. But again, those keeper mistakes come from Guardiola's style of play, which you can avoid, but I don't think you can go against Guardiola's word at the end of the day. So he wants the goalkeepers to do it and play from the back. In times it works for you if you get it right, but sometimes, like what happened to them, they conceded silly goals and they lost the game. So I think Guardiola, with Donnarumma coming in now, he is a shot stopper. I'm not sure if he's good at as Edison with his feet. But in terms of saving goals, I think Donnarumma will work. But I think he's brought in some good players to turn things around. I think it's just time to adapt and acclimatize to the new surroundings for the new players. But in time, I think it's still early stages and they will get it right for sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Gianluigi Donnarumma coming in, because it looks like Donnarumma, along with Sen Lammens, could be making their Premier League debut in the Manchester Derby. I'm sure that's a first.
Oh, what a game to come in. I think this probably could be his biggest game of his career. Coming in from the Belgian League, if I'm not mistaken. Coming into a Manchester derby, the pressure with just wearing the Man United shirts is already so heavy. And coming into such a big game with the quality of players that be on the field, I'm sure he's excited but also nervous at the same time.
Couldn't agree with you more over there. You know, you look at the profile of players that Man United have brought in through the door. The likes of Brian Mbeumo, Matias Cunha. It looks like they're prioritizing young players who have shown proven potential with first team football, and it's not been the case of some of their previous transfers. Clearly, it's the work of Sir Jim Ratcliffe and his Ineos group.
Yeah, it's about time. I think the rebuild, bringing in young players, was a bit late. Marcus Rashford said it nice in his podcast with I think it was Gary Lineker. He said that they were going through a transition phase. But he mentioned, when is the transition happening? Like, you have to start somewhere. But they still, every season, they say, no, we're still changing. You got to start somewhere. And you have to start by bringing in the younger players, because at the end of the day, once you're 31 and 32, the Premier League is about to leave you. And the game is getting faster. The tactics are changing. You need the energy. So, yes, you do need some experience and quality, more senior players, but the game is changing. It's speeding up. So bringing in the younger players, changing the way they do things in the club is very important. Everybody is doing it. It's not just only on their side, but everybody's doing it. So it's nice to see. It's about time it's happening, and it's about time they get things back to where they were.
Yeah, you know, just staying with Marcus Rashford over there, I mean, he was the Man United golden boy. The number 10 jersey was awarded to him, for crying out loud. Sonny, this weekend, who do you think is going to be that main man for Man United? Because it has been Rashford in the past, especially against Man City.
I think Brian Bumo has been good, you know, has been exceptional since joining United. So I'll tip him, you know, to be the guy. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from, you know, the other players, the other signings, but for me, it's him. I mean, even during his time in the international break with Cameroon, he played well, though they lost a game, but I'm tipping him, you know, to do well on that game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. He has looked sharp in that Man United starting 11. Notwithstanding, he's been their player of the month. He's already scooped an award. Positive things to come from the Cameroon international, Mark?
Definitely. I'm a big fan of his. He showed it at Brentford. He scored, I think, 20 goals last season. Good move for him. Good for his career to take it to the next level. I think there's only exciting things to come from him. He's good on the ball. He has good finishing inside the box. So receiving awards, I think it's just natural to him because of the type of player he is. So I'm excited to see him in a bigger club, not taking away anything from Brentford. I think it's just a better stepping stone for his career. So exciting times for him and for United as well.
All right, well, with staying with the strikers in form, Erling Haaland has been finding the back of the net since the season started. Recently, he's been involved in the FIFA World Cup qualifiers with Norway, and he scored 5 goals and assisted 2 more in his most recent fixture. I mean, surely he's going to get in the score sheet this weekend.
I don't doubt it. I think any game that he plays in, he's going to score. It's actually ridiculous what he does. He hasn't had the best start to the league, not what we expect from him, but we know the quality he brings. You know the type of player he's a poacher, goal scorer. I just want to see from the season where he broke the record for most goals in a season, that type of Haaland, where running in behind defenders and creating his own goals, whereas now he's just standing and looking to just tap in the goal. So, yes, we know the quality. He just needs to bring it out and hopefully he gets on the score sheet this weekend.
Yeah, you know, I do wonder if he's ever going to replicate that form, because it was absolutely frightening watching him terrorize defenses week in, week out. I mean, left foot, right foot, the header. He's shown how quick he is. I mean, Sonia, how does this Man United defense cope with such a threat?
yeah, it's gonna be hard. You know, I mean, he managed to score in their last match, I think, when they lost 2-1 to Brighton, even though the game wasn't one of their best games. But he's a player that always manages to score, so the United defense better be on their toes. They need, you know, to watch him and also do extra work to protect, you know, the young goalkeeper that is expected, you know, to debut.
Yeah. Well, for Man City, following this fixture against Man United, they've got a trip to Arsenal. So it's going to be an important match week for Guardiola.
Definitely. I think he has to prioritize the 3 points. It's not going to be easy. I think in past seasons, United have shown to step up when City come to town or they visit City. So I think form goes out the window whenever you play your rivals, and whoever's best on a day, whoever makes the least errors, especially in defense, and whoever wants it more and shows more grit will get the 3 points on the day.
Yeah, well, both outfits are going to be staring down the barrel of a crisis if they lose this fixture. Are both of them going to cancel each other out, or can you see a winner this weekend?
For me, I see a draw.
I could see a draw, but I think City just edged probably 2-1 or 3-2.
All right. Let's move things over along then to the remainder of the Premier League fixtures. Sunday's action sees Burnley up against Liverpool. Now, the Merseyside outfits are looking even stronger this season, especially with the addition of Alexander Isak.
What a signing. I think he improves any team that he goes to, even if it was Madrid, Barcelona. I think he's a massive, massive influence on the team for the type of play he is. The style of player is how he scores goals. He's dribbling, his ball handling, his speed. I think he's a complete footballer. He's still young. He's got lots to learn. But I think the game that he plays is ahead of him, which is exceptional to see, especially playing in the Premier League and the physicality that it comes with. So Isak going to Liverpool, as a fan, I'm not happy to see it because they already got so many good players, and just adding him makes it even worse for other teams. So looking from the outside, I'm excited for him. It's a good move for him. Liverpool are going to be playing for a lot of competitions this season, and they definitely need him, as well as competition for Ekitike. I'm also a fan of Ekitike, and I'd like to see who wins the battle to take the number 9 position.
Yeah, good signing for Liverpool. I mean, it spells trouble for other team. I mean, I think from 2023, Isak just started to show, you know, how good of a player he is, and then he followed it up by improving from there, and now he's at Liverpool where he's surrounded, you know, by top players and a top coach. So I think we should expect, you know, him to be on a higher level. You know, it's exciting, but at the same time, as Mark has said, as a fan of, you know, maybe teams that
in
are
the top six
to be,
clubs,
that are going to be competing with Liverpool, you know, it's a bit scary. Personally, I was hoping that maybe he'd get a move to Madrid
Chelsea.
Or somewhere. Yeah, so even Chelsea, but it is what it is. Let's wait and see. Can't wait to see him on the field.
You know, what's more, their star player, Mohamed Salah, hasn't even hit his stride yet. That's a scary thought for the rest of the league.
Absolutely. I mean, given what he did last season, what Liverpool did last season, you know, under a new coach, we expect them to be, you know, dangerous this season, especially having made those signings. I mean, Mark has mentioned Ekitike, another deadly, you know, attacker. So they're going to be firing. And having been playing, I think they're playing Burnley. Yeah? So, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Burnley. You know, they took Man United to the limit, you know, on their game, but unfortunately lost in the last minute. But hey, in this game, it's going to be even tougher than their game with United.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I haven't seen Liverpool firing at their best this season. I do actually think Burnley could snuff out a chance. Mark, do you think Scott Parker can expose some of those Merseyside flaws?
No, I don't think so, to be honest. I think it's going to be defense against attack. We mentioned that they haven't hit their best yet, and that could be because of the new players trying to buy into the system, trying to adapt. But it hasn't looked that bad either. So and just touching back on your points with Salah, I don't think we should look too much into it, because we know what Salah can do, and when Salah gets going, it gets going. So with all the attack they have, with Isak in the building, there's only big things to come for Slot and the crew.
One-way traffic here, win for Liverpool on the day?
That's what I see.
I agree.
All right. Starting the weekend off, we've got Arsenal hosting Nottingham Forest. Now, the Gunners have picked up right where they left off, showing no signs of losing momentum, even though they finished runners-up for three seasons.
Yeah, the Gunners I haven't hit the road running as well. Also brought in some new players, which is good to see. I think they've been hit with early injuries as well, which is surprising so early in the season. But Arteta's brought in some good replacements. Mosquera looks very good. Nonny, coming off international duty, scored his first goal on international duty as well, so the confidence will be high. Zubamendi looks like he's adapting to the Premier League well as well. Eze needs to get a start. Victor got two goals. So I think it's about time they get going, and it's not going to be easy. I think the more pressure is on Arteta now at the moment, because they keep on backing him. And like you mentioned, bridesmaids three seasons in a row. So it's about time silverware shows up in the building.
All right. Well, yeah, we'll be watching that story closely. The big news coming out of Nottingham Forest, though, is the appointment of former Spurs boss Ange Postecoglou. Sonny, a massive fixture for him to start his tenure with Nottingham Forest.
A massive one indeed. But Ange is a formidable manager. I mean, he showed it there by Spurs. So I think he can, you know, and he was in the Premier League not so long ago. So it's not like, you know, he's coming to, you know, a foreign league that he's not familiar with. So I think he can put up something and try to take advantage, you know, of Arsenal struggles, as Mark has mentioned, that they currently hit, you know, with several injuries. So that's something that he can try, you know, and take advantage of. Some of Arsenal players were on international duties, so the legs, you know, aren't 100%, whereas most of Forest players, you know, were just there, you know, preparing for this match. So that's also a bit of advantage.
Do you think they can come away from the Emirates with a positive result?
Yeah, I think they do stand a chance. Though I'm not taking anything away from Arsenal. I mean, I watched their game against Liverpool. You know, that was a top game. You know, they performed really well. Unfortunately, the result didn't reflect that, you know, at the end of the game. But yeah, I think this one is going to be, you know, it's hard to predict.
Yeah. Mark, do you see that as well? I mean, a number of England players coming on from Nottingham Forest. You've seen the likes of Gibbs White as well as Elliot Anderson.
Definitely. What a top player he is. I think he's definitely going to be one for the future, and one that's on everybody's transfer list right now. But I do agree with Gift. Postecoglou is a good coach. He showed it at Tottenham, and he showed his Tottenham team could step up against Arsenal previously. So I'm sure he tried to adopt the same tactics. He knows that coming to the Emirates won't be easy. He'll be cautious in the approach. So I'm not writing Postecoglou off, but at the Emirates, Arsenal, they don't hold back, and I see them going for the kill, yeah.
All right. Next up, we've got Bournemouth up against Brighton. Now, the Cherries kicked off their Premier League campaign with a defeat to Liverpool, going down 4-2. But they follow that up with successive victories against Wolves and Tottenham, respectively.
What an exciting team to watch. I think they have exciting players, a very, very good coach in Areola. So they're well coached, they're very organized, they have a set style of play which they stick to, and it has worked since he's landed. He gets the best out of these players, especially Semenyo. He's one goal behind Haaland. Although it's still early, he's an exceptional player, also one for the future to watch as well.
Yeah, do you think he's going to come and get one over Brighton this weekend?
Definitely. I think he's the creative spark. He's the vocal point. He's the most exciting player there. I think everything that happens at Bournemouth goes through him, because he's just that good of a player.
All right. Well, of course, their opponents, Brighton, just dispatched Manchester City 2-1 before the international break. A massive result for Fabian Hetzegeller.
Yeah, that was a top game, bro. They're coming to this game, you know, with highly motivated. They want, you know, to continue on the winning lane. So I don't see them making it easy, you know, for Bournemouth. But I think Bournemouth is going to take this one.
Yeah, I agree, especially playing at home as well. The confidence are high. They're coming in with good form. And I think they use their home ground to their advantage as well. So I'm going the way of Bournemouth.
All right. Well, in staying with home ground advantage, Newcastle up against Wolves at St. James's Park. Of course, the Magpies are struggling to recapture their form from last season. And we've seen the fans have been frustrated by the club's lack of spending until their deadline day confirmation.
Yeah, Newcastle, we shouldn't write them off. It's still early days. Eddie Howe is a top coach as well. We shouldn't undermine the work that he's doing, because he's another one who has top qualities as a coach. He also knows how to motivate his players and have a set style of play that works. In terms of transfers, yes, it was a transfer saga regarding Isak, but they've brought in the German Voldemort from Stuttgart, if I'm not mistaken. They've brought in Jalen Ramsey from Aston Villa. They have Bruno Guimaraes at Joe Linton. So I think they're well stacked in that team. And I think everybody can agree, once you go to St. James's Park, if you don't have steel, if you're not up for a fight, you won't make it in St. James's Park. So it's going to be a difficult game. Wolves haven't had the best start, but I don't think they'll also just sit back and be battered. So it's going to be end-to-end, but more cautious from Wolves' side.
Yeah. So the Newcastle haven't managed to win a Premier League match as yet. Surely Eddie Howe is prioritising this one?
For sure. I think he'll be looking at, you know, take advantage of Wolves' struggles. I mean, he should have anticipated that Alexander Isak, you know, is going to leave and prepare for that. As much as there were, you know, a lot of setbacks before, you know, his transfer. But I think it's something that he should have, he anticipated. And also, he also brought a player, I think, that Mark forgot to mention is Anthony Elanga. He's a good attacker, you know. I think he would make, you know, it's easy for them, you know, to adapt, you know, to the absence of Isak. But in this match, I think they will edge Wolves.
You also agree with that, Mark?
Definitely. I think his speed is actually his best attribute. He's also has some good board skills in one-on-one situations as well. So that gives him a different dimension in their attack, especially with the way that Wolves want to play. They have Anthony Gordon. I'm thinking he's still serving suspension, though. But I think that he will be a good addition to the attack for Eddie Howe.
All right. Next up, we've got Everton up against Aston Villa. The Toffees are looking like the new entertainers of the Premier League under David Moyes. I mean, we've seen Jack Grealish coming in hot and quick for this weekend.
Definitely. I think Everton have been a different team in their new home. What a beautiful stadium. They've brought in extra seats to make the game even more louder, bringing in extra fans. So I think they're unbeaten at home in their new stadium, if I'm not mistaken. David Moyes bringing in Jack Grealish was a very good addition to the team. So he brings something different. I think he's got 3 assists already to his name. You can see they trust him more.
It's 4 assists in just 2 matches, by the
so,
way.
So and that's exceptional numbers, because at City, he's never gone past 1 or 2. So that's very good for him. It's nice to see him back enjoying his football. And
now he's up against his former club in Aston Villa, who are yet to score a goal this season.
Things are tough for Aston Villa, bro. I think given the good stats that Everton has had, it's gonna be extra tough, you know, for Aston Villa, you know, to turn things around and start winning.
Is this the fixture for them, or can you see the 3 points going the way of the home side?
Home side.
No, I'm gonna go with a draw or Aston Villa 2-1.
All right. Next up, we've got Crystal Palace up against Sunderland. A massive job for Oliver Glasner this season.
What a top coach. What a journey he's been on with Crystal Palace. How they've been playing, what they've produced over the last 3-4 months, especially bringing in 2 trophies, has been exceptional from him. So having home ground advantage, still keeping Mark Gaye on a transfer deadline will be a good addition as well to his team. And it just brings that solidity to the back line, which makes it more comfortable for everyone, especially him being the captain. So Crystal Palace looking very good for this one.
Yeah, looking at their opponents, Sunderland, 2 wins from their opening 3 league fixtures. I mean, you wouldn't exactly say they're a newly promoted club.
Yeah, and not to mention that they also lost, you know, Jude, who I think was very instrumental in them, you know, gaining promotion. Jobe Bellingham. But they also made some good signing and are starting well. So this is going to be an interesting fixture.
Yeah.
Hopefully they, you know, going to get the results.
Yeah, I mean, Palace splashed the cash on deadline day. I think they brought in something like 4 or 5 new signings. Do you think that's enough time to get them gelling in a cohesive unit?
They've had time with the international break. So I think they will manage.
All right. The prediction this weekend, Mark?
I'm giving this one to Crystal Palace.
All right. In staying with the London outfit, we've got Fulham up against Leeds United. Now, Fulham are showing that they can build on their solid performance from last season.
Another exciting team to watch. They always go for it head on, especially with a good coach in Marco Silva. So, Fulham, I think, especially at home, they will go for this fixture, not taking anything lightly, because we know what Leeds can deliver. And I think Marco Silva would definitely prioritize the maximum points.
Yeah, this season, your Arsenal team dispatched Leeds 5-0 at the Emirates. Is that a sign of things to come for Daniel Farke, or can you see him guiding this team to survival?
I want to say he guides him to survival, but you can't have the same tactics that helped you win the championship and expected to work in the Premier League. It's a different animal playing in the Premier League and coming up against Arsenal. Arsenal's team has been playing together for the last 3 seasons with the same team. They all international players, so it's a higher level. But Daniel Farke, we saw Leeds in the first game. I think it was against Everton. What they can do, it's just a matter if they can stay consistent and choosing their battles as well will help them throughout the season.
Yeah, coming into this weekend's fixtures, Fulham do find themselves in the relegation zone. You think with another defeat here, the alarm bells could be ringing?
I mean, they've had a rocky start. They started with some, you know, hard matches, but they avoided, you know, defeats against United and Brighton. But unfortunately, they fell, you know, to Chelsea. I don't think it's enough, you know, maybe to fire the coach or take, you know, drastic measures like that. I think this is the game that they would be aiming, you know, to
get a result and
to get positive results, you know, and then try and stay on the winning lane.
Yeah. Can you see them getting the 3 points there?
No.
No, I'm also, I agree with Gif. I'm going the way of Fulham.
All right. Next up, we've got a London derby on our hands. West Ham United up against Tottenham Hotspur. Of course, the Hammers with a massive result, a 3-0 away win to Nottingham Forest last time out.
Big, 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 big victory for West Ham, especially for Graham Potter. I think the pressure was mounting on Graham Potter. The results were bad. The way they were playing and losing the games were very bad. You saw fans leaving the stadium early, and when that happens, you need to worry. So getting that victory coming into this fixture was massive for their confidence, especially with Tottenham going down to Bournemouth 1-0. I think that brings a lot of confidence to them, especially having home ground advantage as well. I think the fans will get behind them. Lucas Paqueta, you saw his celebration. It just meant everything to the fans, with him kissing the badge, Jared Bowen getting on the score sheet. So it's about time Potter gets the results that he deserves.
Yeah, looking at the opposite manager, Thomas Frank began his Spurs tenure with back-to-back league wins before going down to Bournemouth. Sony, I had them down as title contenders, but it looks like I have to erase that.
No, I don't think you should. I mean, defeating Man City and keeping a clean sheet, I think that's something commendable. I think he's capable, Frank is capable, you know, of turning things around in this match, as much as it won't be easy, but he needs to, because I think the next game will be even harder as they're going to start their campaign in Champions League. Mm. So he needs to go all out, as much as West Ham also needs a win, but I think he needs it more.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned those Champions League nights. You think he has to get some points on the board sooner rather than later, just to make sure that he can buy himself some time if they want to mount a challenge in the Champions League?
As much as they were participating in a continental competition last season, but it's the level is not the same as that of the Champions League. I mean, things happen there by the Champions League, especially when you travel, players get injured, they get tired. So it's better to collect points early so that by the time you have to travel, you have to, you know, you already have something in the bag.
Yeah. Mark, this weekend, who's going to come out on top?
Oh, this is a tough game to call. I'm going to say 2-2 draw, yeah.
All right. The final fixture of the weekend sees Brentford up against Premier League title-chasing Chelsea. Now, we know João Pedro has hit the ground running. Can you see him extending his scoring streak this weekend?
Of course, he has started really well. I mean, we saw what he can do on the big stage in the Club World Cup, and he seems to be continuing with that form. So I'm not sure if Cole Palmer is going to be back in this fixture, but Pedro has been, very impressive, and Esteva is worth a mention. So it's going to be a really nice game. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, we know Chelsea are stacked with quality, whichever way you look at that lineup. Mark, that Brazilian João Pedro has bagged 5 goals and 2 assists in just 6 competitive matches across the Premier League and the FIFA Club World Cup. I mean, it's absolutely frightening.
Definitely is. He showed it at Brighton. The type of player is exciting. He has a lot of... He plays with, I want to say, with anger in him, which makes him just that... different to other strikers. He can play on the ball as well. He can dribble in one-on-one situations. So he's growing into that position, a very exciting player and a good foot for Chelsea.
Brentford, of course, going down to Sunderland last time out. Do you think that they're going to try and maybe work on that home form in this transition phase for the club?
I think where you need to try your best to gain points in the Premier League is at home. I think they need to come up with a game plan to stop Chelsea's attacks, work between the lines and make sure to utilize counter-attacks and set pieces, because I think that's where they will gain the most, where they can score goals. So I think it will be an exciting matchup, but I think Chelsea will have too much quality on the day.
I agree with Mark. Chelsea will take this one.
All right, gents, that brings us to the end of this weekend's Premier League preview. As always, it's been a pleasure unpacking the English top flight with you. We're going to have to wait and see how your predictions pan out. From all of us in studio, thanks, San. Goodbye.
Thanks, Dish.